Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Interact Building Products Limited Q2 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Hello everyone. Welcome to Interact Building Products. On the side today, we have with us Mr. Arvind Nanda, Mr. Manish Garg, and the CFO and the rest of the team. Thank you, and over to you, sir, for your opening remarks.
Thank you, Dhruv. I'm Arvind Nanda here. I'm the Managing Director and Promoter of Interact Building Products Limited, recently listed. Thank you, everybody, for joining, and first, let me wish you a happy Diwali and a great stock market year ahead. I think today it's looking good. So anyway, to introduce you, Interact, I think a lot of you may know it because you are old investors, relatively. See, Interact Building Products primarily is into the pre-engineered building space. A pre-engineered building is a little, it's all steel buildings, but it's a little different concept compared to being a steel fabricator or a civil contractor or a builder or EPC company. What we do is we get involved with our clients more like partners at a very early stage of their conception of the project. So we are very heavily involved in what kind of buildings do they need, what kind of process buildings, what kind of utilities they have, conveyor systems, how will they install their machineries. But today's industry is very complex in that nature. It's not a simple shed under which the manufacturing can happen. Manufacturing is at multi-levels, raw material moves, finished goods, conveyor systems. A lot of these plants are pretty heavily automatized, including even warehousing of Amazon, Flipkart, and all these warehousing players like Indo-Space and Welspun. All these players, we work with them extensively. Even their buildings are very, very complex. So we get involved with them in the beginning. And as a pre-engineered building company, our first task is to engineer and design the building which they ask us to do. They give us their requirement, but the actual building is designed by us, by our in-house engineers. We have over 125 engineers employed directly, and they first design and estimate the whole building as to how that building will be done. The overall requirement is the customer, but how it will be done is up to us. So in that sense, every pre-engineered building supplier could have a different output of how that building will be done. So a lot depends on how good your engineering and design team is. Then only you will get a good output. If you don't design it well, it could get rejected, or it could be too heavy or too much steel usage, and you would be uncompetitive. So that is the first important task for any pre-engineered building, to have an excellent, excellent engineering department which works on these design and engineering. Once we get the order, then the design engineering, along with the sales team, works on the value add and how to make the building properly. And then they make a shop drawing and a bill of material. This is then sent to our factories. So we have currently three factories, and fourth has just started last month. And all the parts of the building, the whole building is broken down into transportable parts, as we call them. And they are all manufactured in-house. Our basic raw material is only a plate or a coil. We do not buy any ready-made sections from the market, but we make all the sections in the factory. So whether it is a column, a beam, secondaries, box columns, star columns, everything is actually manufactured in-house from a plate. Once these are made, they are all made in a way that they can be bolted together at site. So there are holes at all the ends of the part. Then they are put in a trailer after being painted also, and they are taken to the site of the customer when the site is ready to start installing the building. So there, the building starts getting installed in a mechanoset kind of assembly process, just nut and bolt. At the site, there is nothing to be done. no cutting, drilling, welding, or even painting. Everything is already ready-made. Each piece is meant for a certain place in the building, and that is done by highly skilled people, our certified builders who are trained by us. They are appointed along with our own project management team, which is at site, to take care of quality, commitment to the client, as well as safety. And they make sure that the building is erected as per the dates and commitment given by us to the client at the site itself. And all this is done at one lump sum price. So the customer gets a building designed and engineered by us, gets one lump sum price, gets one date when the building will be handed over to him. So it has become more like a capital goods partner with him. Like just like he orders his machinery to make his product in-house, he orders the building to be made for his product and process. So we are an equal partner, if not a more important partner, because he works with us right in the beginning. And in that sense, we play a very important role. We are considered a very vital partner, not just any other construction company. And also the advantage to us is that we are also completely industry agnostic. It doesn't matter to us whether you are an Amazon warehouse, you are an Asian Paints, Ultratech cement factory, or a microchip factory that we are doing for Tata's, or like this Tata Advanced System building that was inaugurated yesterday by the Prime Minister, that has been done by us in a pre-engineered building. So it could be defense, it could be your machinery manufacturer, it could be all these new age industries like the solar. We are doing solar panel manufacturing factories for Renew Power, First Solar, Tata Solar. Recently, we have got an order from Avaada also. So, Excite Batteries we have finished. Amar Raja, we have got an order. So, we are completely industry agnostic. We've even done a data center. And we are hoping to get a very, very big chunk of the data centers coming up in the coming years. We are in touch with all the data center companies. So, we are very industry agnostic because we have the capability to design and manufacture and assemble all these buildings at site. Also, we are building agnostic. To us, it doesn't matter what kind of building do you have. We can convert that building into a pre-engineered building, manufacture it in pieces, and take it to site. And also, we are locality geographically, we are agnostic. We don't really care where the building is. It can be taken anywhere, to Assam, to Kashmir, to Coimbatore, anywhere, to a desert, to the coastal area, and put there. So we have this big advantage over other capital goods companies that we are completely agnostic, and the customer has a big advantage that he gives the whole order to one company. That company is completely responsible from design, engineering to execution. Anything goes wrong, any problem happens, he has to just catch us. He doesn't have to go to five people as was done in traditional steel buildings and everybody blaming each other. So this is what the pre-engineered building really is all about. Just to bring you to the present day, I think we have done reasonably well in this quarter. As you might all notice that the quantity growth is lesser than our value growth is lesser than our quantity growth. That is primarily because of the softening steel prices. So the sale price to the customer goes a little down while the quantities are up. Quantities we have done over 17-18% more than the previous quarter and compared to last year also. But the value is a little down. It's only 7.5% up. But that is not a worry for us because our margins are decided by quantity, not by value. Because we have like a steel price, costing, everything done, and then a delta added onto that. So that delta remains the same whether the steel price will be 20 rupees a kg or 100 rupees a kg. So for us, it doesn't really matter as far as profitability is concerned. We can make the same profit. In fact, if the steel prices are going down a little bit, we always gain. Because there are older orders which we have or orders we might have taken last month and next month the steel price would be lower. We will benefit in part of our orders. So no worry at all in terms of your sales revenue going up or down. More important is the quantity, which is substantially up. Our production capacities are going up. Our Andhra plant has added some sales to our September sales, but will be more contributive going forward. We have started our Andhra Pradesh 2 phase, second phase, and at the same time, our upgradation of the Uttarakhand plants is also starting. So both these should be in play by next May, June in full production. We are hoping the plants will get done by March or maybe early April and start contributing to production and sales in the coming financial year. The order book is looking good. I think we've given you some detail. Again, very top quality customers, warehousing companies, Avaada for their cell and batteries, cell plant. So again, top class quality. Going forward, the pipeline is excellent. Lot of companies setting up battery plants, manufacturing plants for Apple and Samsung, renewable power, a lot of companies coming up in that, along with our traditional warehousing like Wellspun and Indospace. They are also coming up with huge projects in the coming months. So I think pipeline stands good. Our capacity is going up, so we can actually start taking in a little bit more orders. We had to restrain our order intake because pre-unit building mein, the order book cannot be very long. It's 9 to 10 months is the maximum a customer will wait for the orders to be executed. So to do more, a 1300 crore order book for 9 or 10 months means that we have to perform. And if you want to increase it, which is possible, we have to expand our capacities, which we are definitely online to do it. And I think we will be able to achieve the figures and targets that we have given earlier. This year, we are definitely on track to do a 15 to 20% increase in profitability. The figures that we have given were about 16-17%, but I think we will go higher than that by the end of the year. Sales also, we are very much on track. Like I said, there will be a mismatch between revenue in crores and the tonnage. So we are concentrating on the tonnage because that brings you us the sale and the profitability. So I think we are very happy with what results we have got till now, and very happy to see that in the next 6 to 8 months, we do not see any headwinds coming our way because we can have a lot of visibility in our business if the business is going to slow down. Right now, it looks like going on full steam. So thank you very much, and I will request Manish Garg to take you forward.
Thank you, sir. This is Manish Garg here. Thank you for attending this earning call. Taking forward from here on, in fact, our company acts as a proxy to the private capital expenditure. And the demand for our products is directly influenced by how much private companies are investing. And we all know what's happening in the capital outlay in the market. We are one of the fastest growing companies in the organized sector that operates in our pre-engineered building sector. Now, just to tell you the way forward, apart from what Mr. Nanda has already told you about our future plans in the near future to expand our plants in AP and this AP and Kichha to take on the additional capacity. We have already locked up land in Gujarat, and our future plan will include manufacturing facilities coming up in Khera, Gujarat as well. Additionally, we also plan to get into some other, renewable energy projects as our customers. And the EV infrastructure and the data centers, that's the sector that we are focusing on. So that is likely to fuel our future growth in terms of the order book. Coming to the financial highlights for the quarter and for the half year ended September 24, our Q2 FY25 revenue for the quarter stood at 323 crores. Up 8.5% on a year-on-year basis. And the business mix of our end-user industry is primarily as follows. Industrial and manufacturing contributed about 73% of our total revenue. Infrastructure industry contributed about 25%. And other industries contributed about 2% of our total revenue. our EBITDA for the quarter stood at 25 crores with a growth of 32% on a year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA margins also saw an improvement, which stood at 7.8%. Profit after tax for the quarter came at 21 crores, showing a growth of 36% on a year-on-year basis. And our total order book as we speak, as on date, stands at 1,303 crores. Some more highlights about our half-year results are as follows. Our revenue stood at 627 quarter on a YTD basis, with a growth of 6% on a year-on-year basis. And as Mr. Nanda explained, our revenue growth has been 6%, but our volume growth has been more than 17% on a year-on-year basis. The business mix for the entire half year contributed about 68% from industrial and manufacturing projects, 30% from infrastructure industry, and 2% from other type of buildings. Our EBITDA for H1 25 came at 52 crores with a growth of 19% on a year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA margins also saw an improvement, which stood at 8.3% for the half year. And profit after tax came to 41 crores, this again with a growth of 18%. So all metrics, there is a double-digit growth on this. And our balance sheet remains as strong as ever. And we uphold a zero debt status and net cash positive, backed by an efficient working capital cycle and solid cash flow generation. Even our cash flows have been very, very strong in the first half year. And with this, I would like to conclude the presentation and open the floor for questions and answers. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Prakash Kapadia from Spark PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Couple of questions from my end. Well, typically, H2 is better than H1 for us. So is 40-60 kind of a ratio good enough for us to assume based on, you know, our historical execution?
You are right.
Go ahead. I'll ask the second question.
For us, in our industry, for the last many years, we have seen this trend 40-60. In H1 and H2. And we should be able to maintain that.
Okay, fine. So that answers the question. And secondly, in your opening remarks as well as in the press release, you know, you mentioned the current quarter volume growth is around 17.5%. And, you know, sales growth is 8.5%. And despite that, margins are up by 137 bps. So, you know, just trying to understand this in more of detail, what happens to this when, you know, steel prices go up? So does it lead to higher sales but maybe flat or declining EBITDA margins? Because I think from what I understand, we have fixed as well as floating kind of a order book in terms of our execution. And also, you know, if you could give us some sense, is there a different grade of steel for a warehousing project or a plant or office or hospital? Does that also have an impact, if any, on margin? Those are my next questions.
Okay. Your last part first. We only have one type of steel. This is a special steel, but we use basically three types of steel, which remain the same irrespective of the building. Thicknesses may change. That can happen. But otherwise, it is HR steel, 345 MPa, for all our columns and beams, galvanized steel, thickness can change,
That also is 275 GSM steel, galvanized. And then we have the color-coated roof and wall coils. Again, the thickness can change depending on the requirement. Colors can change, but it doesn't change much with the kind of building. So it is pretty standard raw material, all available in India that we use.
Okay.
Now, your other question was that EBITDA margin with changing steel prices. You see, most of the times, changing steel prices doesn't affect our EBITDA. So if the sales are going up, whether in quantity primarily, that will decide how much we sell, the EBITDA will move up. And the more we go up, the margins improve because we have a lot of operating leverage which helps us in improving our margins as we increase our sales. Yes, if the steel prices come down a little bit, then the steel billing to the customer for, let's say, a 100-ton building, if the steel price is less, will be lesser. If it is higher, it will be higher. But the margins are not overall affected, except I would say that to some extent, a lowering steel price coming down gives you increased margins. Because there are orders, let's say I took an order in June or July. If I am shipping it out in September and my steel has come in September and the price drops from June in September, I will gain. Some of them which are fixed price, I will gain. Some of them which are variable prices, I pass it on to the customer. But margin is not affected even whether they go up or down. But profit can improve if it is going down, and it may go down a little bit if the prices are going up. But doesn't have overall a major difference in our profitability.
So the right way to, you know, think about rising steel price scenarios, there could be some marginal impact in cost of goods sold, but you're saying there could be some offset by operating leverage due to higher steel prices. Is that the way to relate the margin profile?
But I mean, there can be a temporary gain. Like, I think in the next quarter, we could have a temporary gain because the prices going down are from like June, July. So the material starts coming in September. But it's a marginal gain. Most of our profit depends on the delta we charge over the steel price. That doesn't change much. If the steel price is 20 rupees a kg or 100 rupees a kg, it will have very marginal change in the delta. You know, maybe just the financing cost. Otherwise, for us, the cost doesn't change. So we charge the same to the customer.
Understood. That's helpful. Thank you, and wishing you a very happy Diwali and happy New Year. Thank you.
Thank you for your wishes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh from Lucky Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. The question is on the order book. So this 1300 crore of order book, how would it stack up in the same period last year? So what is the growth that you have seen in the order book, either in value or tonnage, whatever you're comfortable with?
See, from last year it has grown. I think last year at about the same time, if I'm not mistaken, was about 1100 crores. So it keeps improving. You see, our order book, to a certain extent, we can't just keep taking orders. For pre-engineered buildings, the requirement to fulfill the order is also very limited. We can't take an order. Most of the customers, even for the big orders, will want their buildings to be delivered within 9 months, max 10 months. So I have to match my capacity to whatever I can take. So like last year to this year, our capacity increased. So I can take more orders. We are now on a war footing to increase our capacity. Because orders are there in the market, but they all have a deadline. So if I'm going into the market today for a 100 crore order and the customer says I want it done by March and I'm already full till March, then I cannot take his order. That is a problem in pre-engineered because orders are not given 2 to 3 years in advance. So 1300 crore basically translates into about maximum 9 to 10 months of sale. So we have to increase our capacity. Order book will keep increasing. I mean, going forward for many years, we see that the pipeline is very good. The requirements are very large. The new age industries, the size of projects is getting larger. The number of projects are getting larger. So that is not a problem, but more on our ability to absorb more of them as fast as possible. So order book will keep increasing.
but it has to match our ability to execute.
Okay. Sir, the other thing is, on the capacity side, this 20,000 ton which has become operational in September, that is sufficient enough for you to at least have necessary capacity for H2 and maybe H1, or are you constrained by capacity even now and you need that Andhra plant to come on stream?
No, for H2 we have sufficient capacity. Even the first quarter of 25-26, I would say we have enough. So we are trying to put a new capacity in place by the first quarter of FY26, so that that gives us the growth going forward also. You see, to just give you an overall picture, each one of our fully integrated plant gives us about 500 crores of building sale in value. So we have three fully integrated plants, which is two in north and one in Chennai. And Andhra Pradesh is the fourth one, but right now not to full capacity. So we would say that today we have about 1700 crores of capacity in place with Andhra phase 1. With Andhra phase 2 and the upgradation in the North India plant, we should be able to add another 300 to 400 crores of capacity, so that from 25-26 onwards, we have a capacity of over 2000 crores. That is what we are aiming for. But currently for the next 6 to 9 months, we have enough capacity.
Okay. And your initial comment on profitability 15-20%, I should read that the operating profit growth for you will be about 20% for FY25 based on whatever 15-20% volume growth, right? That's how I should read it.
We have predicted about 16%, but I think we'll exceed it. Our prediction officially still remains about 60. So to give you a overall figure, like we had what 86 crores PAT in 24. So we were predicting about 100 crore PAT in 2025, but it may go up. I'm not too sure.
You're talking about profit number. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
And lastly, one question. In your PPT, you have mentioned 10% revenue growth for 2025. Yeah. And to the first question, you answered that 40-60 is the revenue mix for H1 and H2.
Yeah.
You know, when you do the two math separately, your PPT says 10% growth, but when you do 40-60, then it actually means 20% revenue growth. So which one is the correct one?
No, we have given 630. I think we have got 636.
So if 630 crores in first half divided by 0.4 gives your top line number of 1550, that's like 20% top line growth.
Yeah, but I think because of the next 6 months, we will definitely have a drop in revenue, not in production, but revenue because of your lower steel prices. So we are predicting about, but profitability is more on, whether we go more by profitability, 40-60, revenue can change. We are hoping that it will cross 1400. So revenue will cross about 1400. So it will give you maybe 45-55 in revenue, but profitability should be 40-60. It can vary. You know, that profitability vis-a-vis our revenue can vary because the operating leverage kicks in much more. Even if you see last year, it was like that.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of divergence in that.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Shah from Julius Baer. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Are you able to hear me?
Yes. Hi. How are you? I hope all well.
Good. Yes, sir. All well. Just one small follow-up from a margin point of view. So as you were describing, because steel prices fell, you know, your gross margin, I'm comparing Q1 versus Q2, has, you know, improved, right? Because you had the advantage of orders that were booked at higher steel prices. But then I see the line items below the gross margin. I can see that sequentially, side, there has been a fair bit of growth both in terms of absolute and also as a percentage of top line, right? So like, could you explain what has driven that? Is there any one-offs here, either because of your new plants being set up? Anything that you can shed a bit more light on?
I think that if I can remember correctly, there are a couple of things. One is, of course, the capitalization of Andhra and the newer capital expenditure. And also, I think we had a certain amount of expense which we had to charge on our ESOPs. We had issued ESOPs.
Achha.
So okay. I think that financial charge of maybe 2.5 crores, I'm not sure which figure, has to be made by us every quarter, even though it's a non-financial charge, but we have to make that.
Yeah, so that's that number is 2.5 crores on account of ESOP provisions.
I see.
I think Mr. Bansal can correct me if I'm wrong, or Manish, if you, what are
it's 2.14 exactly.
2.1.
Yeah.
Okay. So that will come every quarter till we are provided for that.
The quarter will come. This is for 2 months. The quarter will be one crore per month.
Okay. Okay.
So 2.5 crores was for 2 months. Right.
2.1 crore for 2 months.
2.1 crore was for 2 months. Okay. Until what time period, for how many quarters will this ESOP cost accrue to you?
Yeah, this will be equivalent till next 10 months. After that, okay. After allotting 50%.
So this is for the first year.
First year.
Achha, so for the next 10 months or say, till
yeah.
FY26. You will have
so Nilesh, I will also try and explain. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes.
Manish here. So it basically is a function of the vesting. So first year our ESOPs will vest to the extent of about 50%. So there is a higher charge in the first year. So it will be about 1 crore every month for next 10 months. And then going forward, it will be much lesser because they will vest at a much lesser rate because a lot is vesting now. So there will be a charge on the ESOP for next 4 years, but bulk of it is being captured in the first year because of the vesting schedule that we have given for ESOP.
Okay, okay. And now coming to your other expenses line, right, there also I see that, the sequential growth has been quite sharp, right? From 54 crores to 71 crores. Is there any one-off here?
Mr. Bansal?
It's not one-off. This is on account of this employee cost because of the increment given this year. Rest of this.
Employee cost is separate, Mr. Bansal.
Yeah.
Employee cost is separate.
I'm asking about not one of.
This is
only a revenue,
yeah.
But all revenue nature.
No, can I? I will try and explain relation this one also. If you look at our volumes have gone up significantly, right? And there are lot of manufacturing and direct production costs and everything that gets captured as other expenses. And therefore, if you look at our volumes have grown by 17% to 18%, right? So it is a function of the volume growth because you have to put all the manufacturing cost. So 54 crores to 70 crores is a result of significant increase in the volume produced, okay?
Right. Sir, just one more follow-up in the context of this. Earlier, you had given a certain, margin, guidance or view, right? So now that and I see that this quarter, your EBITDA margin sequentially has dropped. There is some impact of steel prices as well. For the full year and for next year, do you want to comment on margins? Basis these new steel prices and the nature of the book that you are seeing?
I think our margin has gone up. I think if you look at H1 24,
it was 7.5, and FY25 it is 8.3. And then
yeah,
I'm just
comparing QOQ, sir. Q1 versus Q2, where in Q1 it was 9.2, and it is, you know, come off a bit.
Is it down, Mr. Bansal? I don't think so.
Slightly down because of this
quarter on quarter, it is down.
Down, slightly down, Mr. Nilesh, because of, as we told earlier, because of ESOP, mainly for ESOP.
Yeah, the 2 crores is causing that.
Right. So hence I'm just asking that for the full year, like FY25 and, you know, thereafter, right, if you could just refresh our, you know, understanding of where you expect margins to be, that would help. Thanks.
See, I think we are expecting that our what we have written in this is that your profit after tax and profit before tax, I think we should be up 15%, as we have mentioned, that we will be able to achieve because of higher growth, higher sales and operating leverage kicking in. So that much we should be able to achieve, that we still stand by.
Right. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Yashovardhan Banka from Tiger Assets. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So can you please advise me of the unit economics as to what is our revenue per kg and cost per kg?
See, generally when we cost a building, there is of course an overall cost of the building, in which many factors are considered, because like I mentioned earlier, we are not selling steel primarily, but a building. So many factors go into it, but if you want to put it in an overall simpler picture, we normally say that 65% of our final sale price without the erection cost, which is a pass-through. So if my sale price is 100, normally my steel and the direct steel in that would be about 65%. Yeah? Then the conversion cost of that steel into a building or building parts, including engineering and designing and manufacturing and consumables and everything, paint, is about another 15%, so that makes it 80. Right? Then we have 10% overhead and 10% margin. That is what we aim for in our overall building. So we can convert that backwards into steel, but how we do it is like this. And as the sales keep increasing, naturally the overhead as a percentage keeps coming down. Because the overhead don't increase in our business. There's a certain built-in overhead which can get taken or care of by after a certain level of turnover. And then that starts kicking into the margin completely. So you could have a sale figure beyond a certain point, all 20% coming into the margin and increasing the profitability. Otherwise it's 65. 15, 10 and 10. That is the normal ratio. So you could say that if we are buying steel at 65, we would be selling it at about 100 to 110 rupees a kg. So that is a backward watching. We don't cost the building like that, but yeah, overall we can look at it like that.
Got it, sir. So also, what is your current market share?
See, our current market share in the organized sector, I think, is the organized sector as we listed in the CRISIL report was about 8,000 crores was the organized sector. And so if we are at 1,300 crores, so we have got about 15% of the organized sector in the top 6-7 companies which constitute that 8,000 crores. But it is growing. Our share and the organized market share is growing much faster than the unorganized and the other player sector, because there are a lot more projects in the bigger, in the grade A clients, as we call it.
Got it. And sir, and lastly, you know, with regards to the land in Gujarat, what is the capacity we are aiming there?
Same, you know, each one of our integrated plants aims for about 500 crores worth of buildings at current steel prices. So about, I would say 40,000 tons of building.
in various combinations and a turnover of about 500 crores. That is the aim there also. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And sir, update on the what is the update on the data center bidding in Maharashtra? I think we were waiting for stability for like the elections, I think.
Yeah, no, suddenly there's a spurt of inquiries on data center. So we have met quite a few. We are bidding for a 4 or 5 in Chennai, in Noida, in Bombay. I was in Bombay a couple of weeks ago meeting some of the major players. But suddenly there seems to be a lot more movement on that. Otherwise, we have been marketing and doing a lot of sales work with a lot of companies all over India on data centers. So suddenly there seems to be a little bit more movement. So we are hoping to finalize a data center or two within the next couple of months.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much.
There could be a whole spot of it, hopefully.
Okay.
Thank you
so much,
sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Jain from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. So I had two questions. First, sir, you talk about how the ASP per project has been moving, if it's moving up, and how should we see this going forward as larger projects get built into our country? So how does it impact Interact from a margins or a revenue standpoint? Any thoughts there would be very helpful, sir.
You see, normally the margins that we work out are on the basis of a certain cost estimates. So, of course, there are certain additional costs in larger projects, in terms of execution at site, safety standards that they want, which are in addition to everything. So, but that cost is built in. But we also feel that when we do larger projects, we get a lot of operational leverage in that, if I were to say so. Our turnover goes up. The cost of doing a 100 crore project is, in effect, internally not 10 times of a 10 crore project. So there are certain economies which do happen when we do large projects. But also on the other side, sometimes the large projects are very competitive. And so you also might have to not get the same margin as you get in a small medium. So it's a very good, very market dynamic kind of situation where you cannot predetermine that this is what I want. This is what I will get in a large or this is what I'll get in a medium. So of course we try to get, but sometimes we feel that this will, maybe at a lower margin also, we will make a higher net profit. So it's an easier building to produce or easier building to erect and faster. So there are many factors in this dynamics which goes in. But overall, if you were to ask me, I think we make more money net in larger projects than in smaller ones.
Got it, sir. And sir, if you could just throw some data around the volumes that we've done for this quarter and the last quarter and how it has moved on a YoY basis. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Manish, do you have the figures with you? I had them somewhere. I think 22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The volumes that we have done in this quarter on a sequential basis are 17% up from 22 to 26. So to be precise, let me give you the volumes in exact terms. For the September half, the total quantity sold was 48,868 tons as compared to 44,382 in the last financial year half, which is a growth of 10.1%. And if you compare only the quarter 2 of September 24, we sold about 26,274 as compared to 22,337. Now that's a growth of 17.6% in volume. So that's the volume growth.
And sir, just one question on utilization. So, currently you would be operating at closer to about 80 to 85% of your usable capacity. Is that number correct?
Yeah.
Usable capacity 80-85%. That's correct. Usable by itself is 85%. So like that.
Got it. Thank you so much. I'll get back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shreyansh Jain from Electrum Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. Can you explain the working capital cycle of your business?
Manish, can you answer?
Yes, please. I will take this question, sir. So the working capital cycle for us, sir, is made up of receivables, inventories on one side, and the creditors, and the other things on the other side. So we have been managing at less than 30 days. In fact, for this quarter itself, it was 14 days, and 22 days was the last quarter. The explanation is that there is about 45 to 50 days of trade receivables. Then there are about 45 days of inventory. And on the other side, there is about 40 days of creditors and then about 45 days of customer advances. So a balance of that leaves us with about 14 to 25 days of the net working capital. So that's how our working capital cycles are managed, and we are very, very careful about the payment terms and the kind of customers that we work for, and we are very, very strict on the collections as per the contracted terms. And that is why in a business like ours, we can manage with about 20-25 days average net working capital.
Well, I think we also need to add that we are very, very strict on our payment terms with our customers.
Yeah.
We're also very strict with the kind of customers we deal with, and make sure that our payments are, you know, well on time. And creditors also, even with steel companies, because we deal with them very well, and we get some credit from them also, which is rare in this industry. And stocks also, we are generally very careful. So we are always been very careful on our working capital requirement as a company. As it's in a part of our DNA, in fact. Yeah.
Got it. And the second question was that only, like, where are you sourcing your steel from? So which companies do you buy steel from?
We buy from all the majors. Tata Steel, Jindal, JSPL, JSW, TAIL, AMNS. Then we buy the roofing and cladding. Steel is separate. It's a special coated steel that we normally buy from Tata Bluesco. So these are the main major companies that we buy all our steel from.
So you buy from them directly?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, got it. And next question is, you mentioned contracts being fixed and floating rate on the steel prices. What is the mix in Q2 or H1 revenue, and what is the mix in your order book?
Well, it keeps changing. Currently, I would say maybe just one third are variable, maybe less than a third. So when steel prices are more and more stable, then the customer doesn't want to get into the hassle of changing steel prices. So they've been pretty stable in the last one and a half years. So a lot of the customers insisted on this, and about two thirds are on fixed price. But for us, it was a beneficial thing because the way steel, they went down gradually. It's not that they've gone down dramatically. But every drop is, you know, a gain for us, since two thirds of our projects were fixed. So currently it is like that. Maybe currently in the order book, it is 75% fixed and 25% variable.
And is there a margin difference between both?
No, when you are negotiating, you try to negotiate. See, normally a customer would get a better price if he was to give us a variable pricing, because then he is taking the risk of steel pricing. When we do fixed, then we are taking a certain risk. But we try to take a calculated risk, you know, in terms of what is happening in the market, how much can we sort of get a gauge from the supplier and what is happening. And then, of course, in the end, we have to compete. It's not only our wish that works. We have to also compete with other players. So I think it is more of a competitive environment that lets us decide. If we feel it's too risky, it's a 12-month project and the steel prices are very weak, we may or may not take it if the customer insists. We try to limit our risk, but I think it's a job-to-job basis rather than one policy that we can take overall.
Got it. market, sir. Thank you. And my last question
sorry
is...
Sorry to interrupt, sir. Could you please...
Yeah, I'll get back in the queue. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So, just on the order book side, so I understand that the prices of steel as a variant on the numerator side of things. So, if I get it right, this order book of 1,303 crores, what would be the metric ton equivalent of this order book, if you could share the number?
Manish, do you have the figure?
I will take this question, sir. So before I tell you the metric tons approximate, sir, let me tell you the mix of 1,303 crores would also include the erection and commissioning as part of the order value of 1,303. So that's one. Then it also includes what we call the buyouts. So that also is included as part of the project cost. So it's 1,303 crore order book, which also includes, you know, all other, you know, transportation, logistics, it's all in cost, should be approximately a tonnage of about 80,000-85,000 tons.
Okay, this should be, okay, 80,000-85,000 tons. And you are saying that the ideal timeline for, you know, booking the revenue is 9 to 10 months, correct?
That is correct, sir. That is correct.
Okay, okay. Also, now again on the EBITDA side of it, sir, wouldn't EBITDA per metric ton would be a better way to look at it and understand it as compared to an absolute figure?
On the per ton basis?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, since you're, I heard other analysts asking you for what would be the margins. I mean, as a percentage margin, would keep on changing when the steel price changes, right? So I'm asking, can the management give an internal estimate of the number of EBITDA per metric ton, which would more or less would be constant irrespective of steel prices, and that will help us understand the number side better, right?
Yeah, no, you are right, but you know, sometimes it is not totally possible for us to work on that basis. But yeah, I think we are aiming. Ultimately, we are aiming that we should make a 10% EBITDA on the thing, and we are very hopeful that by the end of 26, we should be aiming for that. I think we have touched 9%. We are hoping that, I mean, that is the kind of EBITDA we are making. It also depends on the turnover, but the kind of turnover we are doing, we should be able to make 9 to 10% going forward. That's our aim. But we can't fix for every job. It's very difficult to fix for every job on a EBITDA basis. Like I said, also it's a competitive environment. Sometimes you have to take even a large order at a lower price. Sometimes you get orders at good prices. So it's balancing out everything, making sure that you fulfill your capacity. If we work to full capacity, then I think our margins go up. So that is what we are trying, that we should make at least 9% EBITDA going forward.
Oh, okay. So when you say work at full capacity, I mean, is it possible for the company at any point of time to work at like 100% capacity, or 85-90% is peak utilization that the company can achieve?
No, we can go up to 100%, but it also, because the different mix of building, different kind of item, that's why we say 85-90. Because in tonnage, let us say if I can do 1,000 tons in a certain plant in a month, but the 1,000 tons also depends on the kind of building I'm doing. So it could be 900 tons for a building doing the same work, or it could be 1,100 tons doing exactly the same work. So the production could come out 900, 1,000 or 1,100 depending on the building. So that's why the capacity in tonnage can change. But yeah, technically we are, and we can work at 100% of the factory capacity. Tonnage, if I say 100,000, it could be 95 or it could be even 105, depending on the kind of building I get. It is possible. What we do is we take a target that moment we touch 85, 90, we must start providing for new
facility, because we'll soon touch 100 and then we will not be able to take orders beyond that level. Otherwise, yes, it is technically feasible to do 95-100%.
Okay, got it.
Utilizable capacity, as we call it, utilizable.
Utilizable level, right. Got clarity on it. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Disha Agrawal from Nivshay. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah, so the company is going to enter into railway sector soon, right? So, don't you see a risk in entering this sector since it had a history of delayed payment cycles also? So, won't that stretch the working capital?
I'm sorry, I don't think we're dealing railway sector at all. Maybe you are you have looked at Pennar, one of our competitors. They do a lot of work with the railways, some components. No, we don't deal with the government at all. If we are doing any government project, it is through a private sector player. Like we did the Delhi Airport through GMR, we have done an ONGC project through L&T, we have done a railway coach factory in Jhansi through URC. So while we do government projects, but we do not do work with them directly at all in any sector, including railways.
Okay, and so what is the utilizable capacity right now, and how much is the rate of utilization right now?
See, utilizable capacity before the Andhra plant was 100,000 tons.
Okay.
Which more or less was fully utilized by March, April of 24, and now we've added another 120,000 utilizable, out of which 100,000 was utilized by March. So we had 15,000-20,000 space over that. And now we've added another 20,000 in Andhra phase 2, which will gradually get fully utilizable. But right now I would say it is at about 30% of that. So right now our utilizable capacity would be about 127,000-128,000 tons. And this year we are hoping to do approximately, maybe 110, if I'm not mistaken, as a capacity utilization, 110 to 115,000.
Okay,
we have about 127, yeah.
Yeah, and what is the status of CAPEX?
So we are spending, we are doing CAPEX in Andhra, which is a part of the IPO also. The first phase was done with our own money. That all finished by August. Plant opened in September. Now additional capex of approximately 55 crores will be spent on Andhra phase 2, where the work has started, and in the north, in expansion in both our plants, to add another 30 to 40,000 of utilizable capacity. So we are going to be spending approximately 55 crores. In maybe till March or April in both these plants. That is the current plan.
Okay. All right, sir. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, we have reached the end of our Q&A session. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you for taking out the time during the festival season to join our call. We hope we have managed to put some light to your queries and we made sense and we have been able to explain to you our sector. But any of you are most welcome to call us directly and have any queries anytime. We are completely open on this. You can take our number from SGA. A lot of you are already invested into our company. Thank you very much for that. But we are completely open at any time for questions, any queries you may have, anytime you want to come and meet us, you can just call and come. Anytime you want us to come to Bombay and meet you, we'll be very happy. We are completely open to our investors at any time. Thank you very much for joining. Happy Diwali and a great year.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.